Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, September 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's that time once again. 60 magnificent minutes with the ambassador of flour herself, author and baker Amy Halloran. She is in the studio for the Flour Hour to answer your questions about all things grain, from breads to gluten-free baking to pancakes and shortbread cookies. And joining her today is Sharon Burns, leader of Bread Alone Bakery. You have a question about baking or breads or anything? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We'll also discuss failure today and what you can learn from failure. No, in the sense of bread, not in the sense of my career, because clearly I've learned nothing. I'm still here. 800-348-2551, bread and such today. And your calls coming up. Why, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Yeah, it's Food Friday today. And in the studio today, the ambassador of flour, Amy Halloran, is here. And joining her is Sharon Burns, leader of the Bread Alone Bakery, based in Kingston. The bakery offers numerous breads and pastries. Amy, you know from this program, a Troy native, author of The New Bread Basket, how the new crop of grain growers, plant breeders, millers, maltsters, bakers, brewers, and local food activists are redefining our daily loaf. That's the whole book, actually, and it's the title. It's amazing. She helped start the Troy Farmers Market, currently runs the Community Meals Program at Unity House, and is also a teacher of food justice. Amy and Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Is it cold enough for you here in Studio A?
Well, that just means you get to eat more bread. The colder it is, the better your appetite.
You see, you're always putting a positive spin on things. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, but I wouldn't recommend it because I forgot my device and I won't be able to check the email, but oh, what the heck. Just go ahead and send an email anyway. The number is 800-348-2551. Sharon, before we start with all the things that Amy has done, and she's done a lot this summer, and we're going to find out about all of it, including her failure. But tell us a little bit about, now, Bread Alone Bakery, which I've had the bread, and it is amazing. But tell us a little bit about that.
So we started baking in Boyceville, New York in 1983. My partner, Dan Leader, started baking out of a wood-fired brick oven using organic grains in 1983.
So you were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also back then, there wasn't the kind of information there is now, and there wasn't the availability of organic grains. So Dan had to really search for grains and go out and meet farmers and talk to millers, which didn't seem revolutionary at the time. It just was the way to get what you wanted to get. So we're sort of coming full circle and on a landing platform now that's super exciting.
Well, you know, Amy Halloran, it's not tough to get her excited about these topics, but she was so excited that you were on the program. Something of an idol of yours, eh, Amy?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Explain.
So, Sharon is one of my flour sisters.
I see.
Yes, she is. She and I met as I was doing the grain circuit, trying to figure out...
Is that like the Borscht Belt?
It is kind of like the Borscht Belt. You know, the flour ambassadors go on the grain circuit. But anyway, Sharon was going to field days and meetings and bake testing with the regionally grown grains that I was so curious about. Mm-hmm. And not only was she just there, which gave her A++++, but she's really engaging, and I love to be in the same room with her. And the bread she has today for us, Ray, we might as well dive in and talk about it, because these are the landing pad she was talking about. The Boyceville Bakery, the original Boyceville Bakery, has been turned into a pilot for the regional grains revolution, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sharon is baking these Nordic breads. The one on the left is an 100% sour, 100% whole grain einkorn. Einkorn is a very ancient grain. It's one of our elders. And then the one on the right is 100% rye, and it's also got sunflower seeds. And are those pumpkin seeds,
yes,
Sharon?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they speak for themselves, but nobody else can eat them right on the air, so why don't you say a few words?
Oh, sure. So these are fully fermented regional grain breads that that we developed. And the important thing about them is that, without getting into too much of the science of the reason people are having problems digesting a lot of wheat products, we feel that it's important to explore how to create breads that are more easily digestible, but also are very delicious.
Mm.
And there's a tradition of eating fully fermented whole grain breads in the world that, you know, we want to bring back to our consumers.
Now, you say fully fermented breads. Are mm-hmm. most of the breads that we would buy semi-fermented? Not at all?
It's kind of a hard thing to talk about. It's the length of fermentation and the temperature and type of fermentation, the percentage of fermented flour that you're using, and all that is sort of the palate that we use to create the flavors that we want to. Something not sour, so it's, you know, it makes your mouth pucker, but has a depth of flavor that will that tastes delicious, but also the fermentation of it unlocks enzymes, which could get into crazy science.
Well, that's good, though. We like that. Amy likes crazy.
Yeah. So the enzymes mm-hmm. that the toxins they break down are, you have to go backwards to think about the role of a grain in the universe. It is not to feed humans. We hijack those beautiful grains on their way to make more plants. And so all plant seeds have a little bit of protection going on so that the animals won't eat them up. So if you use a fermentation like sourdough, you know, there are other forms of fermentation, vegetables, beverages, all that kind of stuff. But fermentation helps unlock the nutrients that are bound up in the plant's defense mechanism. And when she talks about fully fermented, what I hear is an echo back to the facts of baking powder was invented in 1865. Fleischmann's yeast was patented in 1870. So those chemical leaveners got us away from these cultural habits of using a sourdough culture to ferment food.
Is this a more simple process?
You're looking at the answer right here. It's simple and complex.
Right.
Everyone can grow a sourdough. I was going somewhere else.
Okay. Now, I mentioned failure in the beginning of the program.
Yep.
This looks perfectly fine to me, Amy Halloran. Why have you failed?
Because I usually fail because I race things, and this is a really big race example.
Tell everybody what it is before you tell us how you failed.
Okay, so this is a strange-looking, it's the opposite of what I wanted. I wanted a nice, round loaf that had these studded raisins and walnuts and apricots in it.
It's sort of round.
It's sort of round, but it's too dense.
Okay.
What happened was I refreshed my starter only once after taking it from the refrigerator. Sourdough bakers will know this stuff, but I also think it's not too complicated to say.
So refreshing your starter means?
So sometimes you can't. Okay, so sourdough.
What is a starter, first of all?
Exactly. Whoa, we got it.
Okay, remember.
Exactly. Okay, so a starter is a community of bacteria and yeasts, wild yeasts, that work together to digest flour and water and create the levity we want in bread.
Ah, well said.
Okay.
And so you refreshed your starter.
But I don't have a good sense of time, so I refreshed my starter too late to be able to present Sharon with a loaf that could do anything more than help me get an interpretation of all my errors. So,
right,
which is
right.
Useful all the way through. You know, every mistake that we make teaches us something else. And with bread, you have an opportunity to learn very frequently if you get obsessed with it.
So it doesn't taste good? What's wrong with it?
Oh, it tastes fine.
It tastes fine.
So what's wrong with it? Just the appearance?
It's too dense. because I have the $25 oven that I got when I bought my house 16 years ago.
It's an easy bake oven, isn't it?
It is an easy bake oven. I can't get the temperature high enough. I don't even know what the temperature is. It's like me. It's all over the place. And so I didn't get a glassy surface. I didn't get the heat high enough to help have oven spring boost whatever I didn't allow to happen in my abbreviated fermentation.
Yeah, your pre-ferment wasn't robust enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It still tastes good.
Yeah, it still tastes good, which is I think, more to the point. I mean, we have such expectations when we make things that we then look at it and compare it to what our ideal was and say we failed, when, in fact, this would feed people, and it has a lovely flavor. The inclusions that you put in there are a nice complement to the wheat that you used. You sourced a nice wheat in the Sonora wheat, and you're well on your way to your next level.
Oh, that's nice. Sharon Burns, leader, is here from Bread Alone, and Amy Halloran, I guess a Hall of Famer here on Food Friday. Let's take one call before our first break, and then we'll get back to the phones in earnest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Evan in Goshen, Massachusetts. Evan, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess if you become educated from your mistakes, I must be one of the most educated people on the planet.
Me too.
I have a quick question about gluten, because I hear a lot about gluten-free. And I'm wondering, for those people who do not have celiac sprue, which is a whole lot of us, what do we gain and what do we give up in terms of making bread when we forego the gluten?
Okay.
Well, there's actually research now that people who are avoiding gluten without a real need to are causing themselves harm. In a similar fashion that we did when we thought, oh, no fat, so let's eat more fat-free snack wells. You know, the alternatives that are out there on the market as we pursue this latest food trend, as I see it, are not good for us. They're not whole foods. So I think we should pursue gluten if we can. If you have the physicality to accept it.
Some people are legitimately sensitive to gluten, yes?
Absolutely. There's true celiac. There's also gluten and wheat sensitivities that people have. And I'm not going to argue with them, but there are. We have a lot of eating disorders in our country. And I think the biggest disorder is that we don't want to sit down and eat with each other and break bread.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a perfect spot to take a break. Evan, thank you for the call. We do have to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our number. Amy Halloran and Sharon Burns, leader, here. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Convino Wine Bar, Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 70 wines by the glass and a full menu from afternoon snack through nightcap, live music Sundays and Mondays, outdoor seating, Thorne's Marketplace, ConvinoNoHo.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer, offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. Field Goods, local produce from the Hudson Valley, delivered weekly to workplace and community locations, helping people change the way they eat while supporting small sustainable farms. Field-goods.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. SilverBay.org. And Big Y, for more than 80 years, family-owned and operated market with 5 locations in the Berkshires, with locally grown produce, fresh meat, and seafood, BigY.com.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on Food Friday, 800-348-2551, or Friday, if you prefer. Our number is 800-348-2551. We talk grains and breads today with Amy Halloran and Sharon Burns, leader of the Bread Alone Bakery. Got to tell you, Sharon, this rye is phenomenal. It's not like the usual rye I would think of if I had a ham and cheese on rye. This is quite different and quite delicious. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the This rye is based on a Nordic style, which the Scandinavian islands and northern Germany really excel in the use of rye in their diet. And I'm a huge rye fan. I use it in everything that I possibly can. But this is a very traditional loaf that uses 100% whole grain, stone ground rye. And then it also has cooked rye grain in it and also sprouted rye along with the seeds, the pumpkin seeds and the sunflower seeds.
Now, to put it in perspective, the average rye that we would get at a deli, say in New York City, it's not all rye.
Right. It's mostly white flour with some rye added and then caraway seeds. That's the Jewish, the deli rye that I grew up with. I grew up in Queens. That was something that was,
still delicious in its own right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great loaf.
But that rye points to the history of bread in America, as you can find out from a book called The Rye Baker by Stanley Ginsberg. Rye dropped out of American traditions, immigrant traditions, as the industrial age of bread dawned, because rye is very sticky and it doesn't like mechanization. So even though we have many areas in the States where rye grows, like this is why Nordic breads, Northern Europe has rye. Rye grows there.
Right.
Wheat doesn't grow so plentifully. So of course they have these beautiful breads. And I want to point out that the breads are pan loaves. Because rye has a different kind of gluten, it cannot attempt to be what I attempted to make in this wheat loaf. It's not going to give you the structure that you want. You need to hold it up.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also rye needs to have an acidic environment in order to, whatever gluten is in there and the starches as well, in order to unlock them so that they can have some structure whatsoever. So
it seems like a held together piece of bread.
Well, because a good 100% rye bread needs to have an associative good sourdough program built into it.
Mm-hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Sharon Burns, leader of Bread Alone, and Amy Halloran, who is an educator and author and all-around grain nut. Let's go back to the calls at 800-348-2551. Fred and Hurley. Fred, you're on.
Hi, Sharon, Amy, and Ray. I appreciate your breads. I've enjoyed them over the years. I'm glad that you started in regarding the yeast and natural fermentation aspect of bread making, the sourdough. And one of my favorite breads that, that I've ever had, I think anyone would love it, would be, it's called an Essene bread, E-S-S-E-N-E. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the process?
Not remembering it right in the front of my mind right now.
Basically it's sprouted grains, mm-hmm. and then you mash them all up. You can do different combinations flavor wise and you let it sit for a night, and then you put it in closed baking tins and just bake it as it is, and it becomes the sugars in the sprouts release, and so you get this really delectable juicy, not juicy, not wet juicy, but soft, and you don't need anything else when you have some of this bread. I want to get back to actually doing it. I've had the luck of having it made fresh.
I apologize. I didn't know it was called a scene. I am familiar with that process, and I'm fascinated by it. There's a lot of people who talk about using sprouted flour. That process is different. It's fermented. That process, which I'm not crazy about, is they sprout the grain, then they dry the grain, then they grind the grain into flour. I much prefer what you're talking about. I think it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does have to be, I believe, a yeast-free kitchen.
So that there's not a cross-contamination if you're sensitive to commercially harvested yeast.
All right, Fred, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Sprouted grain. I know, Amy, you've talked about this before, and I still have a tough time wrapping my head around it. What exactly are we doing here?
just go backwards to the beer, Ray.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Well, we now can, you piqued my interest.
I've got you, right? So sprouting is what malting is. Basically, you soak and drain a grain until you force it to germinate. Ah. So it grows a very, very short sprout on it, and then you halt that through temperature control, and then you dry it. And then you get either malted barley, which is a process of unlocking the grain's enzyme so a brewer or a distiller can tap into that grain and get those fermentable sugars to use for their own devices. Sprouted grain flours work on the same thing. It's essentially malting.
What is the advantage?
Some people, again with the phytates. So the phytates are the toxins that can block us absorbing some of the nutrients. And the idea in sprouting of any kind is that you can access more of the nutrients then.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Sharon Burns Leader and Amy Halloran. And over to Larry in Saugerties. Larry, you're on.
Hi there. I'm calling because you said something that's kind of dear to my heart, which is einkorn. Mm-hmm. And I've never been able to successfully grow einkorn in any quantity to make grain out of it, I mean, make flour out of it. It's pretty difficult to grow and get a decent yield. And so I'd be interested in knowing where and how I can obtain, first of all, some decent einkorn seed, if that's possible, and also where I can obtain some of the bread that you've produced using einkorn.
Sure. So we are making our 100% einkorn loaf and selling it in our cafes currently. This is bread alone.
Okay.
So
this is the one in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to and,
yes,
and buy it there?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think so. Klaus Martens up in Penyan. He's in Penyan?
Yeah.
Up in Penyan is growing successfully really lovely einkorn. We're having it milled from farmer ground flour from Trumansburg. I think that they ship direct from farmer ground. I'm not positive.
They do. You can get it in a farmer ground bag. I think perhaps the Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany or perhaps the Chatham co-op has.
So you'd ask around, maybe Mother Earth even down Saugerties way.
But I've never seen their flower.
But
selection.
I will tell you that there are some growers in our area who are growing grain or putting grain into their planting rotation are also very interested in growing einkorn. So there's a bunch of different trials that are happening in our area.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's on the horizon. It's coming.
And you talk to growers all the time, Amy, and I guess Sharon as well. This is kind of as the microbrew revolution happened 15, 20 years ago, a lot of growers are trying some old, very old things again.
Yeah, and very out of place. You know, you think of most of the grain in the country comes from the grain belts, the wheat belts, and trying to find grains of distinction is really tough. Last weekend, I was in Kansas.
Well, all right.
Yeah, and I met a wonderful bakery there called Ibis Bakery, and they, in trying to, you'd think, Kansas, the wheat state, they could get all their wheat in state.
Yep.
But when you want to use a grain and flour that's different, you very often have to go elsewhere to get it. So if they want a named grain, they kind of have to get somebody to grow it for themselves or really hunt for it. Word is that last year's Turkey Red crop, which is Turkey Red is a heritage grain that started in Kansas and has come back in Kansas.
How long ago?
It started in Kansas as we imported Ukrainians. The railroad companies essentially said, hey, bring your grain because I know you want this land.
So and, 1840s?
Later than that, a little bit later. But I don't want to put a wrong number
okay,
on it.
Okay, so.
And
so, but I will say that on the local front, we were involved with trials through Cornell at the Farm Hub in Kingston, mm-hmm. and were able to grow a really lovely, flavorful, very easy to bake variety called Tom.
T-O-M.
T-O-M, not an exciting name. For the bread wheat, and also a fabulous soft wheat, more for pastries, that was developed by Mark Sorrells from Cornell. And when he tasted the, we made a hand pie with it, and when he tasted the crust, he said he'd never tasted the wheat that he developed because, in his words, we don't breed for flavor. So he was able to...
What do they breed for?
Breed for industrial standards.
Oh, I see.
Everything is set up. You know, we got away from localized, regionalized everything. So as people are trying to make something happen here, all the pieces of the grain chain have to change. And that's what's really exciting to me is all the great people involved in making a new thing happen. Mm-hmm. I loved that in Kansas. I got to see so many people trying to do something different, and it's a real joy.
Our guests today, Amy Halloran and Sharon Burns Leader. It's Food Friday. We talk grains and bread, and our number is 800-348-2551. Before we get to the calls again, Amy, you brought stuff too. It looks like wheat thin type of things and some round cookies. What did you bring?
I brought...
You're going to slap me, aren't you?
Once you taste this, you're going to be putting your tail between your legs.
All right,
so I don't need
in
to
the green
slap
room
you.
I said, oh, you brought wheat thins, and you were very offended, so I thought I would try it again. But they're, they're not wheat thins, even though I love wheat thins.
These are crackers that are thin, and they're made from
wheat
and rye.
Bam.
Yeah, and they have some of them have a little bit of a pumpkin seed topping. Pumpkins, you know, this is the pumpkin spice of bakers.
Okay, I don't like pumpkin spice.
No.
I'm not an advocate for pumpkin spice, but let's try it.
I'm not either. So that's just a cracker.
Mm.
It's not, you know, it's not going to wow you like a hand pie is going to, but it's really fun.
Did you bring a hand pie?
I didn't.
All right, then the cracker will have to do.
It will. But the shortbread, Ray.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
I mean, it's butter and
I
flour.
Like the cracker. Do you have peanut butter?
No, I don't have any peanut butter.
Oh,
right.
Come on.
But try this.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's take a call, and then I'll try the shortbread.
Oh, okay.
You have square and round.
They're the same. I just was trying. I was tired, so I knife, cutter,
yeah.
knife cutter.
Amy with a knife. Now, there's a frightening prospect. 800-348-2551. We go to George in Great Barrington. George.
Hey, thank you very much for getting on the phone here.
Sure.
As a young man, and I say maybe about 12, 14 years old, my neighbor across the street had a Pepperidge Farm route. So he used to take me down to New York City, and we would load up with Pepperidge Farm, and we would go to a number of other bakeries. And we used to stop there at this place that made pumpernickel. And it was the first time I'd ever been introduced to it. It was incredible, just absolutely incredible. It, you know, and so on the way home, hold on a minute. I got.
Okay. Are you being pursued by the police, George, by any chance? We heard the siren. Okay.
No, I'm not.
All right, good.
So,
all right, fair enough.
So anyway, by the time I got home, this place that made pumpernickel, by the time I got back to the house where I lived up in Gardnertown, I had pretty much polished off this loaf of pumpernickel bread. And I've been trying to find it, and nobody makes that kind of stuff anymore. If I put white flour into it or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, pumpernickel.
It was old-fashioned.
Yeah, so pumpernickel is lovely. It's from the German tradition. We had made pumpernickel for many years, stopped making it, and I will be, I'm very happy to tell you that we are going to be making our raisin pumpernickel again, and it should be available before the holidays, so.
Okay. You guys have a website?
Yeah, breadalone.com.
Okay. And tell us what differentiates a pumpernickel from, say, a rye.
Sure. So there's so many varieties, but a little bit of rye, mostly wheat flour. Ours has cocoa, molasses, and coffee in it to give it that rich color.
Mm-hmm. Delicious. By the way, Amy Halloran, the shortbreads are fantastic.
I told you.
And very sweet. I'm surprised. You put a little sugar in there, eh?
Yeah. You know, I went to Europe this summer, and lots of people say, oh, I went to Europe and I ate the bread. I don't eat bread at home, but I had to do that. But I don't eat dessert usually.
Yeah.
But I was there going to these fabulous bakeries, and these bakers were, and I thought, I know that bread is one thing, but I really put my heart and soul into my baked goods.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sweets.
Right.
And so I said, to get to know these people, I have to try their sweets.
And so now you're back on the
Back on the sugar train, Ray.
Welcome, but we've missed you. Welcome back. Let's go to Layla in Mount Tremper. Layla, you're on.
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to share a sweet memory I have of Bread Alone and also to affirm that they are an institution in the region. I lived in Brooklyn in the 80s, and I there was a really major snowstorm in the New York area in the late 80s, and I used to go to the Grand Army Plaza Farmers Market in Brooklyn every Saturday, and this one Saturday it had snowed, the streets weren't plowed, there was no cars out, nothing, and I practically skied my way to the farmers market just to see if anyone had showed up, and two people showed up, one guy who was selling milk and Bread Alone, and they were selling loaves of bread out of the back of the truck, you know, the snow was still pouring down, and I went and I got my bread and milk and post-hauled home, and it was really just a sweet memory, and I appreciated being able to get groceries.
Well, thank you, Layla. That's something that we are very proud of. We were always the last man standing at the market, and I remember because I think that for sure was my partner Dan who drove after baking the bread all day, drove down back in those days to the market to all you folks. So
in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah, it's really great to hear that it's remembered and appreciated.
Well, Layla, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Sharon Burns, leader, is here of Bread Alone, and also Amy Halloran, and your calls at 800-348-2551. I got to have four or five more shortbreads. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thord's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts, Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, Handmade Artisan Ice Cream, Sweet Baked Goods, Hot Fudge, and more, harolds.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, preparing weddings, showers, reunions, and more at the Curtis House with 3 B&B rooms available or at their recently renovated barn, Farm to Vase Florals, gloriosaco.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Cooperstown Farmers Market, in its 27th year, bringing farmers and artisans together to provide local goods, open every Saturday, year-round, CooperstownFarmersMarket.org. And Warwick Valley Farmers Market, the 24th year of providing locally grown produce and farm fresh food, with 37 family farms and artisan kitchens and bakeries, open Sundays, warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.org.
Shortbread's delicious. Yes, it's breads and grains here on Food Friday. Amy Halloran is here, Sharon Burns, leader, and you at 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Joe in Del Mar. Joe, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love bread, and I'm very low tech. I hate to say it, but I use a bread machine. And my problem is I have a recipe that I use a lot. It comes out very dry and crumbly. And I'll tell you what I do. I use stone grain wheat. I throw in wheat germ, oat bran, stuff like that to make it healthier. But it comes out really, really dry and crumbly. Of course, I've tried adding extra water, and, of course, that just causes it to fall. Any suggestions how to make it moister and have a better texture?
Hey, Joe, this is Sharon. It sounds like you might have too much bran in there. And what might be happening is the bran acts like little razor blades cutting the gluten so that it doesn't have enough strength to hold the carbon dioxide that's being produced by the yeast cells, you know, during the fermentation and baking process. So I would look to strengthen your dough by correcting the balance of bran to flour for the bread machine, which honestly I don't have a whole lot of experience with, but.
The baking universe is wide out there. If you Google whole grain bread, or maybe go over. I want to push a little writing project I'm involved in.
Oh boy!
Ray, because it's, right. I'm very excited about this. So the kitchen. I'm not sure if there's a bread machine recipe on the kitchen, but what I'm saying.
What's the kitchen? For
the
those
kitchen
who don't know,
is a website dedicated to cooking.
Okay, that's you being fed back. That's okay.
Okay.
We'll turn Joe off and you can keep talking.
Okay. And so there's what I'm getting at is there's lots of resources for every single kind of bread you want to make. So if you want whole grain bread machine bread, look for something up specifically.
This is a website.
That's the universe. Then let me go backwards to the specific website, The Kitchen. We are doing a project called The Soul and Science of Sourdough for the month of October.
Uh-huh.
And I have been putting myself on the sourdough line as I interview bakers who I adore and try to figure out how to make my way through sourdough. There's a lot of fear of sourdough. I have it. I've been making it for about 3 years, but I'm still making my way toward a reliable loaf if I veer off things. We are teaming up with, the website is teaming up with Modernist Bread. Do you remember Modernist Cuisine? The very, very big volumes on, Modernist Cuisine, they've applied their muscle.
Should I say yes and lie?
Yes, go ahead and
yes,
lie.
Yes, I do remember
you
that.
You do.
Yes.
So they have looked at bread, and we have 5 volumes coming out very soon.
Oh, cool.
And so we're going to have their science and history that the chapters about grain history are really, really great. To guide us through the science and the craft of baking. So look for us on thekitchen.com.
Thekitchen.com.
Yep. There's no E in that kitchen. It's thekitchn.com.
All right.
Soul and Science of Sourdough.
Now, Sharon, is sourdough trickier? Does it require more patience?
Than
making your standard bread?
Yes. Yes. You're not adding an ingredient that's ready made and coated for instant activity. It's time and temperature, the two ingredients in bread making that only you have.
Okay.
And so it's a much more involved process in terms of just getting to know what's going on. And as I've been interviewing people for this series, I'm getting more hints on understanding what's going on at each stage of the baking. So it's not impossible. Again, we did this for a really long time. The planet got pretty crowded on sourdough bread, right?
Good point. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is here. I'm Sharon Burns, leader. And let's go to Mary in Malta. Mary.
Hi. I'm very interested in your fully fermented breads. I have irritable bowel syndrome, and I'm on a diet called the low FODMAP diet, which, among other things, eliminates fructose and fructans, which are in wheat. But we are able to eat sourdough bread that's been fermented for at least 48 hours. So I'm wondering if your breads might be okay for me, the fully fermented.
Mm-hmm. So most breads... most of our breads a high percentage of the flour is fermented for 48 hours, but most of them have an amount added at the end, and so then the fermentation of that percentage is not 48 hours. Is that acceptable to you?
I don't know. Periodically, the diet was developed at an Australian university. And they're always researching foods, so this was relatively new that the bread. I don't know what exactly had to be fermented for 48 hours. They just said the bread and no yeast added because the fermentation breaks down the fructans in the bread,
right,
which is the offensive carbohydrate.
Right. Right. So all of our 100% breads that don't have commercial yeast added to them. I would feel comfortable recommending that you try them to see how your body reacts.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 on this Food Friday. And Diane in Saratoga Springs is next. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
And hello, ladies. I'm on an Australian kick, too, like the last lady. Back in the 90s, I lived in Australia. I am an Australian, as you can probably tell. And I was in menopause, and somebody suggested I try soy linseed bread, two slices for breakfast every morning. I went from four or five horrible hot flashes a day to two or three very mild ones, thanks to the soy linseed bread. And when I came back to the States, I thought, oh, surely it'll be here. And it's not. Do you girls know about it?
Soy linseed bread.
Find it. Can you make it? It's wonderful bread.
I've never heard of soy linseed bread. Linseed is flax, so certainly you could add flax to any bread. Soy flour is an interesting flour. It doesn't have any gluten. It's a bean. It's not a glutinous grain. So I'll have to look it up when I get home and see if there are recipes.
Well, I saw Sharon writing something down, so this may have piqued your interest.
I sure hope so, because every grocery store, every bakery in Australia sells soy linseed bread, and the menopausal ladies eat it by the truckload. And people who aren't love it. It's a very nice bread.
We'll have to look for it.
Yeah, so yeah, curiosity is an important ingredient in the bakery, and so I wrote it down to look it up.
Okay, well, Diane, thanks a lot, and we appreciate the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Soy linseed bread. I thought she said Soylent green bread, which would have been something else entirely. Maybe in Australia, it's okay. Rafi, on the road, you're on.
Hi, this is Raphael.
Hi.
I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it, bread alone. For years, I've been, it's just been part of my social life, and I almost don't never buy bread that's not made by you guys. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, thank you, Raphael. That's really appreciated.
A number of years back, you guys used to be cornbread, and it was the best cornbread I ever had, and I have seen it in your store. I'm wondering if you guys are going to make some cornbread again.
Yeah, our yeasted cornbread was a fan favorite, but not by enough fans, which is a problem that we run into where we have items that we're really proud of, but that aren't super popular. So that's something that might get kicked up to our Boyceville bakery, which is our original location, where we're baking items that that we aren't going to be baking in our Kingston location. So thanks for the shout-out about that.
All right, tell us what the difference is between regular cornbread and yeasted cornbread.
So regular cornbread is more of a cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little square pan.
Yeah, yeah, or in a cast iron pan, preferably,
because
that makes it much better. So with our yeasted cornbread, we add a certain amount of corn meal to usually a white floured loaf.
And it was not overly popular?
No, it was so delicious, though. I have a list of things like that, though.
And maybe you could put the soy linseed bread on the list as well.
Yeah, totally.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Carolyn in Kingston. Carolyn, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And living in the Hudson Valley, I wanted to say that I also love bread alone. And wanted to ask you if you had any recipes for challah bread, seeing that we're in the middle of the Jewish holidays, and wondered if you had any good recipes for it or any history of challah.
I would be probably make a big mistake about any history of challah, so I'll leave that to Amy.
No, the historian is shaking her head.
But I will tell you that our challah bread that we are making, that we've been making it every year, but this year our challah bread was out of this world. It was so great.
Why is it better this year than last?
We're just dialing things in a way that I'm super proud of. So
that's good.
We have a fabulous team of bakers, everybody's just really focused on making things great. So, yeah.
All right, that's good. Any recipes? Any good ones?
Not that I could reel off. I wouldn't do that.
Is there one in the cookbook?
There's one in the older book. Yeah, there's one in the
older
book.
Which book is that?
Well, we have four books, and Dan is working on a fifth book. So the first book called Bread Alone, I believe, has a challah recipe in it.
Okay, and I presume that you can find out more about the books on your website.
Yes.
Yes. And the website is?
Breadalone.com.
Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Amy Halloran is here and Sharon Burns, leader, and Bill and Oneonta. Bill, you're next.
Yeah, hi, Ray and the baking ladies. I just wanted to give a big shout-out for Breadalone Bread. Every time I drive from Oneonta, New York, down to the city for probably over the past 40 years, I've been stopping at Breadalone and have never come across better bread anywhere.
Wow, this is like an infomercial. You didn't tell any of these people to call, right?
No.
Okay, good, because that would be wrong.
Thank you, Bill. So I assume you drive past our Boyceville location.
Yeah, the Boyceville. And I've been going there since Dan opened up the original bakery, where it seemed like it was only almost like a one-room bakery.
Yep.
I was very impressed with the quality of the bread, as well as I know way back then he even had a barter system where people who brought him firewood would get bread, basically in exchange for the wood, and he just had very high ethics, basically, and excellent products to go with it.
This is great. So I want to take the opportunity to characterize what it is that people love about this bread, because it also addresses a question that dropped off the screen that I saw. So what makes this bread different is the long sourdough fermentations. They could be called natural fermentations. Often whole grains incorporated, mm-hmm. organic, mm-hmm. you know, how you grow the seed is reflected in how you eat it. And then the wood-fired oven. Wood-fired baking is a tradition or very specialized attention to the heat. All of those things come out in the bread. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this in the response to bread alone. Anything else you want to say about the characteristics?
Yes. We are very careful about sourcing our ingredients. I mentioned that at the top of the show. We are 100% organic, using 100% organic grains. This year, we are responsible for 2,500 acres of organic grain production, which I'm really proud of. Because, you know...
What do you mean? You're growing or harvesting from others?
The flour that we buy
represents that's great.
About 2,500 acres of grain production.
Oh, terrific.
Which I'm super proud of. Also, this year, we've been trying to figure out a way to use transitional wheat, which is really important.
What's a transitional
platform.
Wheat?
So, organic... In order to be certified organic, you need to have... X amount of years in New York State, it's 3 years. Some other
America,
states,
it's three
years
America,
of what?
Sorry, of your fields have to be under organic
production practices.
So if a farmer decides to transition his fields from conventional wheat to organic, it takes 3 years. Mm-hmm. But in that 3 years, you are selling your grain at the conventional price, not at the organic price.
Right.
But you're treating the earth the way that, you know,
you're building your soil.
You're just waiting for certification.
Yep.
So we're purchasing at a price in between those two and using it and not, you know, in areas where we aren't advertising it because it's not the certified organic.
So you're helping those farmers who are making that leap.
Exactly.
It's incredibly important to nudge people along mm-hmm. to the transition to organic. We don't have any ways to support this in the marketplace. The organic mm-hmm. premium, people recognize. But mm-hmm. if these breads said transitional grain, you don't know it. And we don't have the time to absorb that. So
you're creating an economic mechanism.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Let's try to squeeze one more call in here before the end of the program. Helen in New Lebanon. Helen, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am so happy you're having this program.
Oh, thank you.
I have been making sourdough bread for 26 years.
Awesome.
Off and on. I started when I first came to Columbia County and found an old Shaker cookbook, and there was a recipe, and I started baking it then. Oh, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I've been doing it ever since and feeding it, and sometimes I leave it for a couple of weeks. I've never frozen it. I don't know if that's possible.
It is.
But sometimes I've had to throw almost all of it away, but then been able to resurrect it slowly over time. And I just had less luck with the rye, keeping that going when I've been away, but the regular one with the whole wheat and white flour
That's the inverse of my experience.
Rye is easier?
Rye is a sturdier grain. It's, you know, it's a total pedestrian, proletarian food. Sourdough is pretty great. But the I think you wanted to ask about sourdough starter, and I would recommend you use it in pancakes or English muffins. I have a recipe on the kitchen for English muffins.
All right. Amy Halloran, how do more people find out about your ravings about grain? How do they do that on the World Wide Web?
I'm on Instagram at Flour Ambassador.
Oh, and you have fine pictures of pancakes.
Yes, of course.
It's fun. You're
a good follow. Of course. You can follow my travels on Instagram. I also have a website, amyhalloran.net. I write for the New Food Economy. You can find my stories explaining agriculture there.
Okie dokie. And Sharon Burns, leader, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Once again, the website?
Breadalone.com.
Great time having you both here, and thanks for all the great food. Support comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar at a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Equinox Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts, supplying sustainably grown salad greens to restaurants and markets in the Berkshires since 1983, 413-229-2266 for wholesale orders. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer, blueherondining.com. And Berkshire Country Day School, an independent pre-K to 9 school with a comprehensive, challenging curriculum serving families in the Berkshires and Columbia County, open house October 12th, intentional, independent, inspired, berkshirecountryday.org. Thanks again to Amy Halloran and Sharon Burns, leader, for being here today. Thank you for listening and for the great calls. And thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy, for his sterling service this week. Louise Butler took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a Medical Monday. Right now, though, stand by for news.